Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God. God's Word.
And God's Word.
A devil destruction power. Glory to God. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is
God's Word.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation of His will. Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do.
That's what I can do.
Whatever it says I have.
I claim it.
In the name of Jesus.
And with this Bible.
Seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to preach and teach and hear your word. Lord, let your word be bear fruit and let there be 60, 30, and 100-fold fruit in the lives of those who hear it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. We are beginning a new series. I do not know how long this new series will last. And the new series is called Take Responsibility for Yourself, subtitled Stop Playing the Blame Game. If you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, we will read from 3 to 8 through 13. Genesis chapter 3, the book of beginnings. Now, as you listen to this series, I want you to understand that everything I'm going to talk to you about can hit home with all of us in every area. So you, when I talk about a couple of things, some of them might hit home to you personally. Please understand that I am not picking on anybody. This is one of the reasons why, you know, Pastor Chris said I should be making eye contact with y'all. But the reason why many times I don't is because I don't want anybody to think I'm dealing with them specifically. Sometimes I don't even know what's going on with people in their lives. I'm just preaching what the Holy Ghost told me to preach. But then it never fails, and it's happened to me several years since I've been in the ministry, that somebody thinks that I'm dealing with them personally, including this one. Had one time thought that. When your own wife thinks that, you know you got problems. So I tell you that because all of this can hit home with all of us. And many of you know that I am very transparent with y'all. I never pretend to be something that I'm not. I always tell the truth about myself. I don't pretend to be high and mighty. So often when I'm preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to moi as well. Praise God. All right. But we need to take responsibility for ourselves. We need to stop playing the blame game. And God has shown me a number of areas, numerous areas in which this is true. But we can't deal with all the areas which God showed me. So we're going to deal with the most prevalent or the most well-known ones. But let's begin with our foundation scripture, Genesis chapter 3. Begin at verse 8. And it says, and they heard, talking about Adam and Eve, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Matter of fact, we can, where did I put that at? Oh, there it is. We can show you the scripture right up here for those of you who forgot to bring your Bibles. And verse 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, I want you to understand, God, when God called for Adam, he wasn't looking for information, all right? He was trying to get Adam to see, boy, you messed up. Why you hiding yourself? All right. Verse 10, and it says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, now listen to what he said. The woman! Now he didn't say, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry, I blew it, God. No! The first thing he started to do was play the blame game. babies me to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So first thing he does, he blames A, the woman, and B, God. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? We blame somebody else, or we blame God. Now, we go down to verse 19, and the Lord said unto the woman, well, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. So, if we don't blame another person, we don't blame God, we blame the devil. It was the devil. It was the devil. Oh, I wanted to blame the devil all day, all this morning. The devil's attacking me because I'm a man of God. He wants to destroy this work. No, it's partly my fault. Amen?
Amen.
Take responsibility. And so she blamed the serpent, and the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He deceived me, and I did eat. How could he deceive you when you knew the truth? She knew the truth. She knew what was true, but yet she says, the serpent, he beguiled me, or he deceived me, and I did eat. Sad, isn't it? Well, you know, things have progressed since the time of Adam and Eve. We've gone beyond just blaming each other, blaming God, blaming the devil. We also now blame other areas. And this is, here's our tendency, the six areas in which we play the blame game. First, we have a tendency to blame other people, as you saw with Adam. The woman, she gave it to me. We have a tendency to blame God. The woman that thou gavest me. We have a tendency to blame the devil. Oh, the devil, he fooled me. He deceived me. You shouldn't have been listening to him in the first place. But we also have a tendency to blame circumstances. It's not my fault. Such and such a thing happened. We have a tendency to blame our sickness or our mental condition. I don't have to take responsibility. I'm mentally ill. I lost my medication. We have a tendency to blame our ethnicity or so-called orientation. It's because I'm black. That's why they treat me this way, because I'm black. See? The man. He don't treat me. You know the man. I remember when I was still in the Air Force, and some of us were getting out of the Air Force, and this one, this is supposed to be a brother, a minister now. He comes and says, I'm getting out of this white man's Air Force, and I'm going to go work as a manager for Burger King. I said, oh, let me see. He thinks that black people own Burger King? So he's going to get out of the white man's Air Force to go work for the white man's Burger King. Mm-hmm. See, see how foolish that is? See how stupid we can be? See, we blame ethnicity for our not getting ahead. Because I'm black, I'm not getting promoted. No, because you're an idiot. Face it. Stop blaming your ethnicity for your problems. You need to get beyond that. Let me tell you something. I'm black. I understand. I have experienced racism. I know what any black man is going through. But I'm going to tell you what. I have put my trust in God. Oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself. But let me just tell this one story. I'll probably tell it again when we get to number six. But I remember when me and Taco first came to Rhode Island. And we were trying to rent a house. We were going around looking for houses to rent. And you know, every time I call somebody trying to get a nice place, and they would, for some reason, they would turn me down, whatever. And I went to the credit union to go get a car loan and met this nice, wonderful Italian guy named Sal. And Sal, you know, he was cool. He was my boy. And so, Sal just, he knew I was new in Rhode Island and everything. I just came from overseas. So Sal's asked me, so how's everything been going so far? So I told him all my troubles. I said, Sal, I can't seem to even get a house because every time I call somebody, I can't get the house. And Sal said, you know what your problem is, Troy? I said, what? He said, you're black. This Italian man, he told me. I said, but Sal, I'm talking to these people on the phone. How do they know I'm black? He said, Troy, when you called me on the phone, I knew you were black just by the sound of your voice. So, I mean, you know, it's not like I have a lingo or anything like that. I mean, I try to talk normal. But then, unfortunately, even though Sal, his motives were right, that sunk into me. It sunk into my head. And so every time, you know, me and Taco go try to find a house, the first thing that came in my head is, I'm not going to get this because I'm black. See the negative confession that Satan is making me speak? And so we went to this one place, I was the only black person out there looking at the house. There were several white people, and me and my wife were the only ethnically different people. And so as I saw the white people come going to the house, I said, I'm not going to get this house because I'm black. This woman, thank God for her, she rebuked me. She said, you better quit talking about you black, you black, you black. You in Jesus now. You a new creation in Christ. I said, ouch, that hurt. But it's so true. So I said, you're right, honey. I said, God forgive me. I said, if this house belongs to us, we get it in Jesus' name. We went in there and we looked at the house. It was a nice house too. And the man told Taco, he said, and this guy, you know, he was a biker guy, you know, white guy with big muscles and everything. And he told my wife, he said, you know, he said, I like your husband. He said, he got the priority over this house. And he called me up the next day. He said, Troy, if you want the house, you got it. The only problem is it was $95 more than what we believe in God for. And he wasn't willing to go down, so we moved into a different house. But it just shows you how deceitful and how wicked the devil is with using your ethnicity. But see, you can't keep blaming your ethnicity. Praise God.
Amen.
We got to stop the blame game. So those are six areas in which we have a tendency to blame God, blame anything other than taking responsibility for ourselves. We blame other people. We blame God. We blame the devil. We blame circumstances. We blame our sickness or our mental condition. Well, I'm not feeling well. That's why I'm acting like this. Baloney. We blame our ethnicity. I'm black. I'm Asian. I'm this. I'm that. No. Because you're dumb. Stupidity knows no race or color or creed. All right. I was dumb when I was blaming my ethnicity.
Yes.
I have to. Yes, I've experienced racism just like all of you. But I learned that I am not going to be overcome by the racism of other people. I'm going to stand on the word of God, and God has always given me favor when I've done that.
Amen.
Amen. And I've never compromised. I've never put down my race. I'm proud to be who I am. I'm proud of the achievements of African Americans. And each of you, no matter what your race is, you should be proud of the achievements that your race has accomplished. I thank God for the white people who fought against slavery.
Yeah.
You know that?
Say that.
See, people forget about that. They forget that there was white people who died.
Yes.
Trying to help us get free from slavery.
Amen.
They died trying to help us with our civil rights. So we got to remember these things. If you're Jewish, thank God the Messiah came through you. We wouldn't have our Bible today if it wasn't for you being Jewish. Oh, man, I should have put race at the top of this, man. All right. But let's deal with our tendency to blame other people first. The first thing we find under that is everybody else is doing it. Yeah, we blame our sin on the fact that it must not be bad because everybody else is doing it. See, the problem is that the devil knows our needs and our desires to belong, to fellowship, to be able to have time, you know, spend time with other human beings. God created us to be that way. Matter of fact, you read in the Bible, God told the man, he said that it is not good that the man should be alone. You know, those who are loners, you met people who claim, I don't need nobody. But them the most miserable people in the world, ain't they? I don't need nobody. They all bitter. They don't want to never go out nowhere. I don't have any friends. Well, with that kind of attitude, no wonder. But we all need people. We need each other, praise God.
Amen.
So the temptation that comes with that is that if the crowd is doing it, then we think it's okay to do. But let me take you back to the time of Moses. One time, Moses went up, had led the children out of Israel, brought them into the wilderness and everything. And so Moses said, hey, I'm going up to the mountain, I'll be back. I'm going to go hang out with God. So Moses went up to the mountain, hung out with God. Him and God spent about 40 days together. About within some of the time in the 40 days, the children of Israel said, hey, we don't know about this Moses. He must be dead. So they went over to Aaron and said, Aaron, make us a god so that we can go back to Egypt. So Aaron said, hey, give me your rings. Give me all your jewelry stuff. And he made this golden calf. He said, here's the God that brought you out of Egypt. Worship him. And so everybody was boogieing down. You know, I mean, the DJ was mixing it up. I mean, the rapper was out there. I mean, they was doing that thing. But God said, Moses, your people, which you brought out of Egypt, have sinned against me. You ever do that? How many of your parents ever do that? When your children act up, you blame it on the husband or the wife. I do that all the time. Taco, do you know what your kids did? Well, that's what God was so upset. He didn't want nothing to do with them. He said, them people you brought out of Egypt have sinned against me. He said, step aside so that I can vent my wrath upon them. Now, I'm going to tell you, Moses is a good man. Because that had been Pastor Troy, I'd have been like, have at it. So thank God for Moses. Moses says, stop the Lord. He said, hey, Lord, come on now. Remember, you destroyed them. You remember, you think about what the Egyptians will say. You know, Moses cared about God's reputation. Praise God. And so he prayed and interceded so that God wouldn't destroy Israel. But see, this is what happened. The majority of the people thought it was okay to worship a golden calf. You find that throughout all the history of Israel. The majority always thought that it was okay to get into idolatry and idol worship and things like that. The majority is not always right. Amen? Just because the majority of people doing it, just because everybody's doing it, does not make it right. As a matter of fact, you as a Christian need to get away from the idea that what everybody else is doing means I can do it too. Because we are not in the world. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God. That means when you get into what the world is doing, if the world is doing certain things and you think it's okay because everybody else is doing it, then you are going against God himself. How many of y'all want to be enemies with Almighty God? Not me. My hands go way down on that one. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So the thing about everybody is doing it is not a good excuse to do it. But that's what we do. We blame the fact that we're sitting on what everybody else is doing. Well, Pastor, everybody else is doing it. What's wrong with me doing it? No. Everybody else is doing it don't mean a ding-dong thing. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In other words, the Bible is saying, it ain't got nothing to do with what everybody else is doing. Just because everybody else is surfing pornography on the internet don't mean you're supposed to do it. Just because everybody else is watching the wrong things on YouTube don't mean you're supposed to be doing it. Well, everybody's doing it, Pastor. No, that don't mean you're supposed to do it. Everybody else is doing it is not the reason for you to do something. Praise God. All right. Now, here's one that's even worse or more deceptive. Reverend Blank says it's okay. Pastor Blank says it's okay. Minister so-and-so, elder, apostle, bishop says it's all right. Let me tell you something. If it's sin, it don't matter who said it. Amen? It don't matter whether Pastor Troy said it, Pastor Christick said it, Elder Steve said it, Minister Mary said it, whether somebody comes in here and doing signs and wonders and great miracles. I believe in signs and wonders, y'all. I want to see more signs and wonders. I want to see legs grow. I want to see people healed. I want to see demons casted out. I believe in signs and wonders have been used by God in them, want to be used by God more in them. But I'm going to tell you something. I have been used by God in signs and wonders, and I've been in sin at times. See, the gift is not for me. The gift was for somebody else. Praise God. So, signs and wonders does not make a man of God or a woman of God correct in what they're saying. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there's going to be some that go before Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, if you want to write this down. There's going to be some that go before Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Haven't we done this and that in your name? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. You think about that. People are being used by God in signs and wonders and still going to go to hell. Whew. That's scary. And do you know hell is going to be much, much worse for those kind of people? Because they knew the truth and did it not. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12 talks about how Satan, in the last days, Satan's going to come with lying signs and wonders. So you can't be deceived. There have been a lot of cults that have done signs and wonders and have led people astray. Have led people into false doctrines, free love and all kinds of foolishness. You are to take the Bible and compare it to what any man or woman of God says, including yours truly. Praise God. I endeavor to always teach you what the Bible says. But I'm human. I can make mistakes. So I encourage you to always check out what I say against this book. And if ever I lead you down the wrong path, I would encourage you, don't wait to pass go. Don't call a taxi. Get out of here. I'm telling you, if I start teaching false doctrine, you need to go, or you need to talk to the elders and have me sat down. But don't risk your eternal future on what some man or woman of God says. If it is sin, if they tell you to sin in some kind of way, it doesn't matter if Reverend so-and-so said it. See, some people are fooled by signs and wonders, but you know that some people are also fooled by somebody's degree. Some guy who comes up and says he's Dr. So-and-so has his PhD, his MTH, his R-O-U-S-E, and whatever else he has. He has all these letters behind his name. And we get fooled because he says he is knowledgeable of all the original Bible languages, the Greek, the Hebrew. He has studied archaeology and things like that. And then he comes in here and teaching things that have nothing whatsoever to do with what the Bible says. And many people are deceived by that because of the fact that this man is so well educated. You know, I'd rather listen to an ignorant country preacher than listen to an arrogant, foolish man who has his theology, his degree in all kinds of stuff, but don't know what he's talking about, and start leading people down the wrong path. There are people with theological degrees who have said that God has ordained that you should sin. You know that? Yes. And they call themselves orthodox. I could quote some of the quotes, and I could name some of the names, but that's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is for you to understand that you cannot blame other people. You are responsible for knowing this book for yourself. You are responsible for knowing what this book says and not what some preacher says, what some teacher says, regardless of whether they're doing signs and wonders, regardless of whether they got a degree or no degree. You know what this book says. Praise God. So when somebody's teaching you something and it just doesn't register with you, then you find out what they're saying in this book and find out if it compares to what the book says. If they're saying something stupid, reject it. But don't you go out and act on something without knowing what this book says. Praise God. Amen. Whew, we got through that one. That was the hardest one for me. All right. Well, actually, the next one is really the hardest one for me. Why should I try to live right when I see so many hypocritical Christians, including preachers, who are always sinning? Yeah. Why should I try to live right? Pastor ain't living right. His wife ain't living right. His deacons ain't living right. Why should I try to live right? Because you are responsible for your own salvation. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fearing and trembling. It's not let the preacher work out my salvation or let me work out the preacher's salvation. You are to work out your own salvation. Say this with me. Say, I am to work out my own salvation with fearing and trembling. Now, the Bible does say that you are to follow me as your pastor as I am following Christ.
Amen.
But if you see me getting off course, then you need to keep going. Keep pray for me, please. Mm-hmm. Please pray for me, because I don't, you know, if I'm straying, I need y'all to pray. Don't just leave me. But keep on going. Yeah. Don't follow me. Don't follow me down the wrong path. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Or any other man of God. Or any other Christian for that matter. But you stop blaming other people for your not living right. You stop blaming the hypocrites. Let me tell you something. This is God. This is you. This is the hypocrite. You know what the hypocrite is doing? Blocking your way to God. You are letting him. You need to get over that hypocrite. Get over the hypocrite. You need to allow... You know, ministers most certainly should lead by example. And I try to make every effort to do that. But you do not concern yourself with what somebody on television did. Just because a TV preacher fell or a famous preacher fell doesn't mean you got to fall. But do you know when some of these famous preachers fell back, especially back in the 80s, when all of them, every time you turn around, some well-known preacher was falling to sin. And a lot of people, because those preachers were more like God to them, they fell too. Isn't that sad? You don't follow what other preachers do. Now, I'm here to teach you the Word of God. I'm here to try to live an example before you as best as I can. But you are responsible for your salvation, and you need to follow the Word of God, regardless of what any man or woman says or does, including any other Christian. Praise God. Too many people get offended too easily by what other people are doing. It is your responsibility to receive an offense or to reject it. I choose not to receive offenses. I know that I'm in sin, but my sin is not as bad as... That's the other one. Yeah, I'm sin. But I ain't as bad as so-and-so. Baby, listen. It don't matter.
Break one.
You know, in the Bible, in the Luke, that's right. You break one commandment, you break all the commands. But in Luke chapter 18, there was a Pharisee and a publican or a tax collector. They were both in the synagogue praying. And the Pharisee was praying, "Lord, I thank you. I'm better than this guy over here. I mean, I tithe. I say my prayers. I do this, I do that. Lord, I'm back. You should be glad you got me. Instead of this guy over here. The tax collector was saying, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Help me, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. He didn't go and say, well, I know I'm a tax collector, but I'm not bad as Joe down the street. He really be cheating people. No. See, the tax collector took responsibility for his sinfulness. The Pharisee was bragging on himself. Not he trying to compare himself to that other guy. And see, that's what many of us do. We try to justify our sinning by saying, hey, I know I'm messed up, but I ain't as messed up as. And then we continue in our sin because we just think we so above. So God must accept me because I know I'm doing some sin, but I ain't sinning like over there. No, we got to get away from that, praise God.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter whether you have minor faults or major faults. You break, as Ann said, you break one of the commandments, you done broke them all.
Yes.
Sin is sin.
Amen.
Now listen, we got to be careful of that too, because there's some people who go out and commit adultery or fornication, and then they'll sit up there and say, well, Pastor, I know I sin, but sin is sin. Ain't no one sin above the other. You doofus. Let me tell you something. That's children present, so never mind. We'll deal with it on another time. But, you know, you can commit certain sins and it can have more devastating effects on you than other sins. Alright? And it can hurt you more. There's some sins like, you know, as a matter of fact, Paul put it this way. There are some sins that are without the body, like lying and stealing and things like that. And then there are some sins that are committed against the body.
Amen.
So you got to be careful. Praise God. It's the way I was raised. That's just the way it is. Some things never change. All right. But yeah, it's true. Parents should raise their kids properly. Proverbs chapter 22 tells us that train up a child in the way that it should go, and it shall not depart from it. So it's true that parents should raise their kids properly. I agree with that. But see, if my mom didn't raise me properly, I still become an adult, and I still have opportunity to know the truth. And especially if you become a Christian and you come to a church like this, which teaches the word without compromise, you really have no excuse. You really can't sit around saying, yeah, but my mom raised me this way, that's why I act this way. No, that's not the way it is. Ezekiel chapter 18, you can write this down if you're taking notes, but Ezekiel chapter 18 says that God will not punish the children for the parents' sins, nor the parents for the children's sins. In other words, you are responsible for your own sins.
Amen.
Mom and dad is not responsible for your sins. Well, dad wasn't home, so this is the, and I was raised by my mom, and I was raised by this and that. That's why I'm the way I am. My daddy wasn't home either. My daddy was out driving trucks and having himself a good time with other women. But you know what? I still knew right from wrong. I was raised in a home where people was drinking and having a good time. I still decided that was wrong. I wasn't going to do that. Praise God. I think I've only gotten drunk maybe two times in my whole life. I can't remember one of them. My mom said I got drunk when I came back from the Air Force, and she said I was just running off with the mouth. I don't need to get drunk to do that, though. And there was one other time, I think my wife, before we both were saved, she got me drunk. And I was climbing up on the walls, and she said she wouldn't give me no more drink after that. So, but I knew at that time that drinking was wrong, and I said no matter what happened in my home, no matter what I saw with my uncles and stuff doing, I knew not to do it. When I got saved, I stopped cursing. I was raised in a home where curse words were the rule of the day. Now, I wasn't allowed to curse. My mom could curse me out. But let me say the word B or or one, or even D. I couldn't even say the word lie. I had to say, you're telling the story. You too, huh? I couldn't even say the word lie. Like that's a curse word. I mean, I couldn't even, when I talk about the Bible, I couldn't say the word H-E-L-L. I had to say the word heck, you know. Oh my goodness. So, but I learned that was wrong. So it doesn't matter how I was raised. I had to take responsibility for myself. Praise God. All right. A few more here we'll deal with. I was abused as a child. Now, this one I know is not funny. And I don't expect anybody to laugh at this. Because a lot of people were hurt as children. It's a shame. And it makes me cry when I think about it. I read about stories and stuff. And I read about kids that are abused sexually and emotionally and physically abused by their parents. No parent should ever do that to a child. No parent. You should love your children. You should be protecting your children from that kind of thing. But you know what? Still not an excuse. It's still not an excuse. Being abused as a child is not an excuse for you to live loose. You can still go through a lot of trauma and you can still come out and do the right thing. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I got some beatings as a kid, but I couldn't say I was abused. I mean, some of what they call child abuse now was normal back in my day.
Amen.
But I tell you what, it kept me out of jail.
Yeah.
That's why some of the problems with these kids now, they going to jail because they ain't get no beatings.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't get no spankings.
That's right.
You hit me, I'm a call DCYF.
Mm-hmm.
I told my kids, call them. My wife will tell you, I told them, call them. I told all three of them, call them.
Yeah.
I said, if I do go to jail, I got to come out sometime. You better not be home when I do. And I said, if they take you from this home, don't expect me to go to these anger management classes and all that stuff, thinking I'm going to get you back. You're going to stay in that foster home till you're 18.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
They thought twice about it. They still here, ain't they? And I beat their butts before.
Right.
All three of them have gotten their butts beat. And yes, you can tell, those of you listening to the tape, that's right, I did. However, I did not abuse them.
That's
a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I spanked their bottoms, but I did not leave any marks.
Mm-hmm.
But they got enough spanking to know, don't do it again.
Amen.
Now, there's been some mistakes I've made, just like some mistakes my mom made. And there's some things I regret. But these kids know I've loved them dearly. And I've apologized to them for whatever mistakes I've made in raising them, especially my oldest one. I made, when you got your first child, you make a lot of mistakes. but the fact that she won't leave home means I didn't do too bad. All right, she ain't turned 18, so I'm getting out of here. She knows she's in a good home. Praise God. Now, see Isaiah. For those of you who have been abused as children, Isaiah 54:4. And Isaiah 43:18-19 are good scriptures for you. Forget the shame of thy youth, is what Isaiah says. Stop looking at the past. Move beyond it. I know it's difficult, but let God heal you. Let Him heal you emotionally. But don't fall into sin and keep using the way you were raised as an excuse, or that you were abused as a child as an excuse. It's sad. I hurt for you. I pity you. But at the same time, take responsibility for yourself. Stop playing the blame game. Oh, let me see how much time I got. No, I got one more minute. No, actually, I got six more minutes. All right. They have it coming to them. The self-justification for losing temper or other acts of vengeance. Yeah, the way they treated me. When I went off on them, they had it going too. I gave them a piece of my mind. Baby, you need to keep all the mind you got.
Amen.
You know that little pea brain of yours, you need to keep it. Don't be giving people a piece of your mind. You ain't got enough to share. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Glory to God. Yeah, we don't be giving people pieces of our mind. We need to keep all our mind. James chapter 1. I can say this because I was real bad at this. My wife would tell you, I could be the nicest person in the world. And I could go a long time being nice. But it always took one thing. If it set me off, I went off. I was nasty too. See, everybody used to, and I mean, when it did happen, people were being shocked. Troy? No. He wouldn't do that. That's not him. I remember one time we was at the airport. When my daughter was like still a little baby. And we was at the airport. It took us it was hot. I didn't have no air conditioning in my car. You know, I was only like 22 years old, couldn't afford a decent car in the first place. And traffic was bad getting to the airport because I'm trying to take my wife and my daughter to get them back to Japan. We finally get to the airport. We got to wait in this long line to get this ticket. I kept my cool, but I was seething inside. We finally get up to the gate, and then we got to wait in another long line to get the tickets checked out. That's not even to get on the airplane. For some reason, they had this other ticket booth that we had to go to, and we had to get in this long line. So we're in a long line. We finally get up to the line. And the lady looks at the ticket and says, where's her military ID? I said, she doesn't have a military ID. She's a civilian. I'm in the military. Well, we can't let her on the plane. I said, say what? She said, sorry, we can't let them on the plane. Come back tomorrow. I lost it. I went off. I mean, you did not want to be there because I was mad. I got my head shaking, chemicals going all over the clean floor. I mean, you get your supervisor out here. I don't care who it is. I mean, I went off. She went and ran and got, she was so scared. She went and got her supervisor. And the lady said, well, he's in the military, right? She said, yeah, then let them on the plane. And so they let him on the plane. And so my wife was so embarrassed, she wouldn't even kiss me goodbye. I mean, we're going to be separated for maybe a year now. She won't even kiss me goodbye. She's so embarrassed. And she told me when she got on the plane, people was commenting, was that your husband? But I was so ashamed of myself after that. I mean, I could have walked around with pride and said, yeah, I got my wife on the plane. I just went off. I let them know. But I was a Christian. And I acted like that. I was so ashamed of myself. I vowed never to do it again until a couple of years later when I did it again. So I saw that I had a problem. Yeah, I thought, okay, I go 1-2 years, I got victory. And then something happens and I snap. And I'm so ashamed of myself. I said, I thought I had the victory over this thing. And I start crying. And then I did that one time, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, he said, your problem is pride. I said, it is? He said, yes. You are so proud that you have the victory over it, and then the devil is able to get you, and you fall into it again. He said, you are to claim my victory for you every day. Not relax in the victory, in the achievement that you already had in the past. So I learned I have to take this thing step by step, day by day. And I've done very well now only because I learned to do it day by day. Praise God. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 20. Let's look at this one real quick. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, there's a lot more scripture I could give you on this very point alone. You know, You know, the Bible tells us to anger and sin not. The Bible says a number of things and give no place to the devil. See, our angering and then sinning at the same time gives place to the devil. Praise God. But see, your wrath, your anger, your frustration is not going to work the righteousness of God. So you ain't, just because what somebody else did to you does not give you the right to react in kind or to get vengeance on them. All right, I'm over my time, so let's just look at the rest of these under this one topic real quick. They don't deserve your forgiveness, love, and respect. Of course they don't. When somebody does you wrong, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve you to forgive them. But see, when we did God wrong, whenever we sin, do we deserve mercy?
No.
No. Do we deserve forgiveness?
No.
Do we deserve God's honor or respect?
No.
We don't deserve it. But you know what? He gives it to us anyway. Psalm 103 says that he gives us undeserved mercy.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. I know I don't deserve mercy. That's why I call mercy.
Yes.
I remember I listened to a pastor one time. You know, he in his denomination, you know, he was trying to assign churches to these different pastors. And so, you know, one woman who saw him said, you know, pastor, I hope you get the church that you deserve. He said, I don't want what I deserve. He said, I want grace. I want grace. No, don't give me what I deserve. I'm the same way. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy. I was driven to do this. No. Nobody can make you do anything. Nobody can drive you to do anything. You make a decision to do what you're doing. Oh, I can give you more scripture on that. You need the outlines, I'll give them to you. God gave me the wrong spouse. That was it. Y'all heard my story before about that. Yes. Man, God had given me the wrong spouse until God spoke to me and said, no, you have the right. Any spouse you married to is the right spouse. All right. Oh, I wish I had more time to just deal with that. I might deal with that one next week. All right. Then next week we'll talk about the tendency to blame God. Hallelujah. Just get anything out of this. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I tell you. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Father. All heads bowed, all eyes closed.